Testing. Okay, thank you. I am Jeff Chase from Duke University. Pleased to be here and pleased to have an opportunity to contribute to Genie. It's a great project. I know it's tough coming back from a break, but I'm just going to keep on forging ahead since we've been told that we're on a very, very tight schedule here. I got a timer in my hand and it's already ticking. So I am representing Cluster D, which is one of the control framework clusters based on Orca control framework that Aaron talked about, and Orca is a project of mine. Here's the figure for Cluster D that Aaron put up. The real core of Cluster D is the collaboration with between Orca and Ben, which is the Breakable Experimental Network. We have a number of other projects that are self-contained testbeds, wireless testbed, mobile vehicular testbed, that we're trying to incorporate in. And I'll say a bit about those in a moment. So Ben, I don't want to say too much about Ben, since Ilya Baldin of RENSI is going to be speaking in the next session. I just want to say a little bit. Ben is a metro-scale optical network across the Research Triangle Park area. It connects RENSI engagement centers at the Triangle campuses. It's dark fiber in the ground, and the fiber connects up to, at least on the Duke side and on the RENSI side, to an all-Cisco MPLS network, which can also serve as a bridge to NLR points of presence. So that's primarily what we've been talking about, is how to get that working the way we want. And what RENSI has done is they've installed some access equipment at each of these points of presence to allow us to sliver the fiber, actually at several different levels. There's sort of a hierarchical slivering going on here. So we can allocate this network resource from the fiber all the way up. So there is this model of bring your own transport equipment and plug it in. But we have a partnership with Infinera, which is, provides some transport equipment that runs over a Pilatus optical switch. And the Infinera allows wavelength division, time division multiplexing, bandwidth allocation at the granularity of 2.5 gigabits per second. And on top of that, we can establish VLANs and so on in the Cisco 6509 routing layer that's on top of all that. So this basic stack is installed at each of the points of presence. And attached to that is a number of different edge resources. Attached directly to Ben, really what we've been focusing on at RENSI and also at Duke are cloud computing ensembles. We actually started out getting into this business looking at capabilities for managing clusters and essentially slivering and slicing clusters, deploying different kinds of services on them, what's now called cloud computing. And that's very grateful for NSF funding for that going back to 2003. What we're trying to do now is link into some other sort of cloud computing and cluster management software that's out there that's attracting a lot of interest as a way of making it easier to bring on external users and leverage some of the other investments made in that. So we're about to declare victory on hooking Eucalyptus, which is the UC Santa Barbara cluster software and management software in underneath Orca Control Plane. And that's what we're using as our model for standing up other sites. At least that's the plan. Another big part of that is cross-layer network slivering. Again, this hierarchical slivering. Since Ben allows slivering in multiple layers, that makes the question of how do we manage the slivers. If we've allocated a whole optical fiber, we can't sliver channels off of that with WDM and so on. So we need ways to manage that allocation, and that's an interesting part of this. And then there are also these other self-contained sensor test bed, sensor field, VICE at UMass Amherst, DieselNet also at UMass Amherst, and Kansai Project at Ohio State. So basically what we're trying to do now is primarily between, at least in the Duke-RENSI collaboration, is establish this ability to allocate paths and channels through Ben, link them up to subclusters allocated from these cloud computing clusters on the edge, and link those together. So essentially what we're doing is bringing network allocation and to a cloud computing model in a sort of networked cloud computing kind of structure. And further on down the road, the idea is to link through NLR to these other kinds of test beds. We're still trying to figure out exactly what that means and what it entails, but that's obviously the goal. So let me say a little bit about ORCA. ORCA stands for Open Resource Control Architecture. And basically the idea here with open is we think that really the key problem here is to look at how resource providers and resource consumers, you know, the major stakeholders in this kind of a structure, negotiate amongst themselves and exchange agreements and contracts with respect to their use of resources. And so the control framework is designed to be open in the sense that anybody can bring a new server that represents a new stakeholder in and plug it in through this protocol-centric kind of structure. And again, the two primary players there are the hosts and the resource providers, and the resource consumers, which would be experiments and Genie and so on, and we like to just call them guests. A big part of what this project is going to involve Genie in general is understanding how we represent these kinds of agreements, how we reason about them, how we represent the resources that are in this the Genie system and all the different edge resources attached to it, and how we process those in order to do resource allocation and actually configure end-to-end slices. So the control part is that we believe that we really want to have the ability to express actually fairly strong kinds of contracts among these providers and consumers that actually express specific kinds of agreements and assurances about what rights are being given, what level of performance isolation the holder can expect. This is important for predictable, repeatable experiments in Genie. Those contracts can be very weak, best effort, but we'd like to have the ability to represent exactly what is being agreed to and what is being committed by the provider so that the experiment can actually reason about what the set of resources that it has in its slice is actually likely to do and how it's likely to behave. And the architecture part is, we started using the name ORCA when we really thinking about, you know, what are the major players here? What are the kinds of things they want to be able to say to each other? What are the actor roles, protocols, and interfaces? Of course, we sort of backed into this with some implementation work that went forward over a period of years. We do have an implementation of this architecture, which is a Java-based toolkit for building actors and linking them together. And that is a resource leasing core called Scirocco. As I said, it is in Java, so our culture in ClusterD is very much Java and Ant and, you know, Maven and SOAP and Eclipse and those kinds of things. So if that appeals to you, you might talk to us. A primary, when we think about the actors in the control framework, we mostly just try to focus primarily on the primary actors, which again are the hosts and the guests, the providers and the consumers. And in our world, we really don't think very much about individual components at the control plane level. We've made an engineering decision that all of the components are encased in these aggregates, encapsulated in aggregates and aggregate managers. And those aggregates really implement the protocols to talk to the other actors in the control plane. So here we have an edge cloud in an aggregate manager, which we call a site authority. Another kind of aggregate might be a transit provider such as Ben, which is represented by a server that we call a domain authority, and these are both instances of aggregate managers in the Genie architecture. Over on the other side, we have this entity, the Genie symbology for a researcher, and our thinking is that this entity actually needs to be represented by a programmatic first-class element in the architecture, an actor, a programmatic server that actually interacts with other elements of the control plane in order to acquire the resources that this researcher needs. So that's what we call a guest controller, a slice controller. And in the middle here, we have an instance of a clearinghouse, a Genie clearinghouse. Part of the idea in the project is that RENCI stands up a clearinghouse that acts as a registry for all of the resources here. And that essentially is a means of brokering sort of loose relationships between the providers and consumers. I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment. Now there are other entities here, and if you look at the control framework architecture documents for Genie, there's a lot of talk about management authorities and slice authorities and different other elements. Our view is that primarily the other entities in the picture are really endorsing They have the role of endorsing other identities and establishing security attributes for them in order to set up various trust chains. So they don't really have a direct role in the control plane protocols themselves, although they may have some powers of the entities they endorse and ability to call some of those interfaces. But in our world, what we've done essentially is say, you know, as in any Genie implementation, all of these entities, they have public-private key pairs, they're represented by GUIDs, they have identities. What we do is broker trust between the aggregate managers and the clearinghouse by having operators that are have an ability to control each of these actors through a web interface. Each actor has an operator, or some entities privileged to act as an operator, who directly install the public keys of other partners in trust. So in the case of the clearinghouse, there's an operator that installs a set of public keys for identity managers that are empowered to authorize users. In the case of the aggregate manager, the operator installs public keys for the brokers to use, in the case of the clearinghouse to use. In the case of the clearinghouse, install the public keys of the aggregates who are able to donate resources and have them managed through the clearinghouse. So there's this cloud of users out there, and their identities are certified by these identity providers. And if you can see the colors on the arrows there, basically the ones that are red, that's where we don't actually take a position on how the keys are exchanged. Somehow the identity managers endorse the keys of the users. They establish the keys of the users. Somehow the operators get the keys of other actors they trust, and then we directly install them. There's one slice authority, which is integrated with the clearinghouse. So I gave a talk at a previous engineering conference talking about framework principles. I'll just say a little bit about those. Basically, they boil down to, again, there's this idea that the actors enter into contracts, and the contract model has to support a notion of accountable delegation or subcontracting. I'll say in a moment why that's important. And also, again, that the resource managers are aggregated. And again, this is an idea that the aggregate manager can serve as a wrapper around existing technologies for managing some of these edge components, groups of edge components, like the wireless test beds and so on, and the cloud computing clusters, so that we can incorporate those existing technologies and link them into the control plane. So in the small amount of time that I have left, let me just say a little bit about this notion of delegated contracts. I think Aaron mentioned that there's this optional idea of a ticket broker service in the clearinghouse, and this is something that's very important to us. The idea is that the clearinghouse has a broker engine within it that's actually empowered to issue tickets on behalf of the aggregates that have donated resources or delegated control of their resources to this clearinghouse. So the idea is that when an edge ensemble or some kind of edge resource or a transit provider decides to federate in this testbed, decides to work with the clearinghouse, it delegates, passes a description of its resources to the clearinghouse, and the clearinghouse then takes responsibility for issuing rights to users and experiments and slices to be able to actually use slivers of those resources. And that actually creates an opportunity for useful concentrations of power in the architecture. It gives the clearinghouse an ability to do some coordinated allocation, calendar scheduling across the set of aggregates which might be managed and owned by different entities and so on. And it provides a foundation for resource discovery. And that follows a model of some work that I did on a SHARP resource exchange framework with Amin Vedat and Steve Schwab, who's doing some work with the security architecture for Genie now. So that means that a big challenge here is really the question of how do we actually represent these resources that are going to be slivered? How do we pass those in? How do we have code in the clearinghouse that knows how to sliver all these different representations of all the resources that we might want to incorporate into Genie? Obviously, we know how to do that in some cases. We know how to do that with the cloud computing edge, for example. You know, virtual machine systems provide a capability to, you know, sliver individual machines. We can carve out clusters. We can allocate storage volumes and so on and so forth. When we actually get into slivering a network with a complex topology and allocating paths through that, then it becomes much more difficult. And that's something that we're spending a lot of time talking about. What's really the right representation for topology in the network, and how do we allocate complete paths and subnetworks from that. And our model at this point is to have a few sort of canned descriptions of subnetworks that we can allocate and do that in a fairly simple way rather than embracing all of the extremely difficult challenges of embedding that we have with networks. But what we are trying to do is provide a framework within which those solutions can be installed in a clearinghouse. And of course, another big challenge here is when we've acquired a set of tickets from a clearinghouse that represent rights to instantiate and install and link together slivers across multiple aggregates, how do all these things get stitched together into some kind of an end-to-end slice? And I don't have time to go into this in very much detail, except to say that the guest slice controller, a programmatic entity that represents the owner of the slice, a researcher, is responsible for interacting with the aggregate managers to pass these tickets to the aggregate managers. The aggregate managers will always try to honor tickets issued by a broker. They've delegated allocation power to the broker engine within the clearinghouse. And there's a protocol that enables an exchange of configuration properties and other information coming back once the sliver is instantiated. There's a representation of that that we refer to as a lease, which is a ticket after it's been instantiated. So there's an ability to pass labels, tokens, configuration attributes, and whatnot in both directions. And there are a number of capabilities built into the control framework to enable sequencing of the allocations from an instantiation from the slice controller so that we can instantiate slivers in a particular order and pass labels across them. And that's the key foothold that it will enable us to do end-to-end slicing and stitching together. And that's what we're doing. I just want to say that the hard part here really is dealing with the network and all of this. And there is this notion, there's sort of a fluid division of function between the clearinghouse and the broker it contains and the aggregate managers in terms of how we do that. We can put more functionality in the aggregate managers. We can divide up the network into different aggregates at whatever granularity that we want. And that provides a lot of flexibility to either make the problem easier by centralizing more of it or make the solution more flexible by giving us some more decentralization. And those sorts of trade-offs are incorporated within the structure. And there is in the Scirocco toolkit, there is an attempt to isolate out the pieces of code that deal with these configuration actions and so on into nice plug-in interfaces. Okay, and let me just say then that primarily our goal for the 6-month time frame is to instantiate end-to-end VLANs across BEN and extend those out over NLR and run some experiments that will enable us to actually validate the topologies and the properties of the topologies that we've created. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to integrate the other resources in ClusterD into this. We have some good footholds to doing that, but most of that work is ahead of us, and demonstrations of that are probably going to be past the first 6-month demo. Okay, and with that, I'll stop. And I guess I'd be happy to take questions. And if there are no questions, I'll just say that what we have here is a general model in which there's this resource control plane that exports programmatic and protocol interfaces for entities to allocate resources. That's useful not just for Genie. It's also useful for the network cloud computing models that are evolving. And I think I like to say that all of these different rainbows have the same, we're all going to the same pot of gold. And I see these things as very closely related, and I think that's an important part of the Genie project. I'm done.
You are done.